we felt that the need to have meetings like this. Just let me get my phone right. Where we address, you know, little small groups, brothers, young married couples, young people, from time to time. Because then we can focus on different issues. So that's the main purpose. So it's been ages since we had a brothers' meeting. Unfortunately, we didn't have one when Brother Zach was here. But anyway, we want to be able to do this in the future to build us together into a body. See, the danger has always been, as the church has grown bigger, that we become a congregation. The only way we can prevent that from happening, or at least slow it down, is that we strengthen the core. That's been Brother Zach's burden, and that's been our burden, to strengthen the core of brothers that God has given us in the church. Even among all you brothers here, I think we are probably nearly 100. So at least there's a core of 25, 30 brothers who can really preserve the church from just becoming a congregation. I believe we'll go a long way. I want to go back to that word that, you know, I began the last meeting with. It's a word that I often think about. When speaking to different ones, I've always quoted this 1 Corinthians 16. You know, it's particularly to us who are men. And we do well to take heed to what the Holy Spirit says here through Paul, 1 Corinthians 16:13. And he says, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, and let all that you do be done in love. Five things there. It's easy to remember. And, you know, we could sort of around all those exhortations to be on the alert, to stand firm in the faith, to act like men and be strong. You know, it's with love surrounding all these exhortations and how we put them into practice. And like I was saying, we particularly have to be alert for our families, those of us who are married, and seek to protect them, our wives, our children, sons and daughters particularly. And keeping our eyes open, like the Living Bible says, for spiritual danger. As fathers, as men, we keep our eyes open for spiritual danger. That is our responsibility. Stand true to the Lord, it says in the Living Bible. Act like men. To act like men means I am strong. That's the next exhortation. Be strong. That's a characteristic of a man. You can't expect a woman to be strong. But we as men should be strong. May not be physically. It's good, of course, if you are strong physically to be able to help your wife in the home, lifting things and all that. But that depends on one's physique and health and so many things. But to be strong spiritually, that's important. And that's the characteristic of a godly brother, that you're strong spiritually. You know, should not be weak and effeminate. You know, it says effeminate men don't have a part in God's kingdom. Now, I should not, as a man, be effeminate. I don't have to be like a woman. I have to speak up, I speak up. If I have to correct, I correct. If I have to rebuke my family, if I have to correct them and give direction. I have to do it as a man, not in an effeminate way. I'm afraid that there are some brothers who are effeminate, lose control of their homes, they don't give direction, and then all kinds of things happen in the home. As long as the children are small, it's easy to manage the home once they grow and become teenagers and then grow up. And if we have not given direction, if we have not corrected, you know, like a plant that's growing, if it's tending to go on a slant, you put a stake in to correct it so that it'll grow straight. And that's how spiritually that we have to do it, but we do it in love. That's why it says, let all that you do be done in love. So even in correcting and straightening up our children when they go astray, we do it in love, and they must see that. And so we have to be alert for spiritual danger. We have to be men, act like men. I said this to many of you, and sometimes in personal counseling, and I said, you've got to be a man. I've said to couples sometimes who meet opposition, particularly from non-Christian families, I said, be a disciple. Be a disciple and God will stand with you and honor you. So the same way I say to all of us men, act like a man and God will stand with you and back you up. You can be sure of that. God will help you to be strong, and God will keep you in faith, stand firm in the faith. You know, the things that we stand for in the church, to stand firm in the faith, but we do everything in love. Let all that you do be done in love. Let's never forget that. We can go around trying to do things in the letter, just listening to exhortations, and come down heavy on our, particularly our families, our wife and our children. And it doesn't produce the desired results. It'll always produce the opposite. So, what I say to us who are married, particularly you young brothers who one day will be married, act like a man, but do it in love. And be alert for our families. As I said earlier, the strength of this church is the home. If we have strong homes, we have a strong church. We have strong families, we have a strong church. And for that to be true in a family, the husband must be the head of the home. The husband must act like a man. Not let his wife take over. Maybe she may be more spiritual. And it's good sometimes if you have a spiritually minded wife who can, you know, who can contribute to our standing true to the Lord. We can listen to our wives, but we don't involve them in church affairs if you have responsibility in the church. We can listen to them, we can get advice sometimes, but we don't let them give direction. It's we as men must give direction in the church and be on the alert for that. Anything that tends to go away from this. And one thing, I want you to look at this word in 1 Timothy in chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. You know, Paul tells Timothy in verse 20. He says, O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and has gone astray from the faith. So, he says that guard what has been entrusted you, avoid worldly and empty chatter. We don't need to get into empty discussions, empty chatter. And there are some things we don't understand. We don't have to go into speculation. We always have a doubt about some verse in the scripture. Rather than give our own interpretations, always first of all to pray and ask God for revelation, what I do. And then if I'm not too sure, we have Brother Zach's through the Bible a great help for us to understand certain passages of scripture perhaps that we don't understand. I don't give my own interpretation, and then worse still if I bring that out in a meeting. I can lead people astray. I can cause confusion. So I would encourage us that, you know, what Paul says, he says, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter. Empty chatter, vain talk. And he says, lead to further ungodliness. This is another in 2 Timothy. It's interesting to see how much Paul speaks about, you know, empty chatter that leads to further. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 16 and 17. He says, avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. And their talk will spread like gangrene. And if you have a margin in your Bible, it says they're cancer. It's like cancer. And he mentions two brothers, Hymenaeus and Philetus. He said, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some. As I was just saying, you're not sure about something, don't give your own interpretation. Seek God for revelation first, and there are helps, there are messages. And thank God for a brother like Brother Zach, whom God has given to us, given the gift of teaching, that I can get a clear understanding of truths that I am not too sure about. Here are these two brothers. They started saying the resurrection, the rapture has already taken place, and upset the faith of some. And that's what happens when we get into, like it says, a worldly and empty chatter. It'll spread to further ungodliness. I don't need to. Always ask ourselves, why do I need to discuss this? If it's something that's going to help me to be godly, I can get help. Go to a godly brother and say, I don't understand. And brothers have come. I don't understand. I've come to me or written or called me and I don't understand this. And I always encourage us that we seek for revelation. John says, you have an anointing. You don't need anyone to teach you. That means I don't listen to anyone. God has given us teachers in the church. But I have an anointing, and I trust every one of you sitting here have sought for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I trust if you're coming to this church, you have the assurance that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you have an anointing, that will teach you. And I want to say to you, I've said this many times, if you're in this church, not even bothered about asking for your birthright in being baptized with the Holy Spirit, you're sitting as a beggar. You're sitting without an anointing. You're sitting without a covering with just a ticket to heaven that you think, my sins have been forgiven, I repented, I've been baptized in water, and that's all. No, it's not. That's not all, my dear brothers. I trust that every one of you listening have sought for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I trust that most of you, or many of you, who are part of this church, have an assurance that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. They're very clear. You don't have to speak in tongues. You don't need to speak in tongues. But you can. You may. And 1 Corinthians 14 is very clear. In tongues is a gift God gives us that we are edified. But the main thing is the love of God. Romans 5:5. I always stress that. That is a sign I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. The love of God is poured into my heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. Then I can obey 1 Corinthians 16:13. And all that I do in love. It's impossible otherwise. Yes, coming to meetings, listening to messages, reading all Brother Zach's books will not help you. It'll goad you. It'll goad you in that direction. But you have to go and ask. That's what Jesus said. If you earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? I want to ask every one of you, if you're baptized in water, and since you've been baptized in water, have you asked Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit? Don't say, I've asked once or twice, nothing has happened. What are you looking for? Some feeling? Some electric current in your body? Look for Romans 5:5. That's what I base my assurance on. I thank God I speak in tongues, like Paul says. He said to the Corinthians, I wish that you all spoke in tongues. But that's the important thing. I'd rather prophesy. I'd rather bring a word that will help and build up the brothers and build up the church. But I want to encourage you. I can't overemphasize this, my dear brothers. If you're sitting in this church, even for 1 year, and you've not sought for your birthright, and you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are a beggar. You'll die a beggar. Or when Jesus comes, if you're there, you'll want to shrink back, like it says in Hebrews 10. So I want to say that we cannot understand God's word with our human minds and intelligence. You may know the Bible very well. You may listen to all the messages. You may even go through the Bible. But if you don't seek God for revelation, you don't ask the Lord, "Lord, give me the Holy Spirit to teach me." Jesus said, "He will take the things of me and reveal them to you." So, if I'm to avoid worldly and empty chatter, if I'm to avoid spreading confusion among the brothers by giving my own interpretation and sharing something clever, I always seek to verify. When I want to share something on a word, and then I want to make sure that I'm sharing the right thing. Paul says that. Go before that in verse 15 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Go back to 14. It says, remind them of these things. Remind them of what things? Was always good to go by. He says, it's a trustworthy statement. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, not unfaithful, read it correctly. If we are faithless, that without faith, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. So much is there. But we have had, you know, through the years, young brothers sometimes get up and share something in the meetings that has created confusion. We have young brothers who have gone away. We had one young brother who was here, part of this church, part of the choir, song leader, began teaching that we don't have to take up the cross. Jesus took it up for us. Can you imagine that? A brother from CFC and left CFC and started his own group. We don't have to take up the cross. Jesus has already taken it up. I just have to follow him. Can you imagine that? This is what happens. That's why you read the exhortation that Paul gives Timothy. You want to be a godly young man. You want to be a godly brother. You want to be a godly husband. Read Paul's letters and read particularly what he wrote to a godly young man, Timothy 1 and 2. So much is there. He said, don't wrangle about words which is useless, leads to the ruin of the hearers. But be diligent, present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. I want to say to all of us brothers, those of you who facilitate in the midweek meetings, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, not to impress your elders, not to impress your home group people, but to be approved to God. You're seeking God for revelation. You're seeking for the Holy Spirit who will teach you, will open your eyes. You take help and check what you share and what you have doubts about. You have, like I said, you have through the Bible, you have so many other helpers. You can listen to other godly men, but you have to be careful. So too, since sometimes some need to be careful what food they eat. So you say, no, you can eat anything. Then you swallow everything that is there on the internet. So you can be safe in going to the website and listening to messages and using through the Bible. All I'm saying is get help and don't end up with this, like Paul says, you know, those who spread worldly and empty chatter, wrangle about words, and it spreads like gangrene and like cancer. And he says it upsets the faith of some. He says that, you know, if you read further on. So much Paul has to say in 2 Timothy 3 when he says in the last days difficult times will come. You know, all these people that will be there in the church, it's not outside, holding to a form of godliness, verse 5. Although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. I'm saying it's possible to sit in the church without the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm afraid, I don't know how many of you here this afternoon are sitting here without the power of the Holy Spirit. You will end up with a form of godliness. And he says that there are such people who creep into households, captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And he speaks about these two magicians, Jannes and Jambres, who also did things like Moses and Aaron, did the miracles, but they came to a place where they could go no further. And then they had to say, this is the finger of God. The finger of God is the Spirit of God. And that's how, if you do not have the Holy Spirit, that's exactly what will happen to you. You'll come to a place where you don't make, it says there, you'll not make further progress. In verse 9, they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jannes and Jambres' folly was also. Jannes and Jambres, if you read the Old Testament, are Pharaoh's magicians. They also did things. And that's what we see in Christendom today. But such people don't make further progress. It's possible to sit in CFC, sit without the power of the Holy Spirit, have a form of godliness. Very few people can see that you think you're a godly brother, but you have the form without the power. And the Holy Spirit is warning us through Paul. He says, avoid such men. And he says, the mark of such people, they don't make progress. So that's how you know. If you're making progress, then the Holy Spirit is leading you on. Otherwise, it's good to ask yourself, why am I not making progress? And then I can help build others. And in that context, you know, another thing is what we have to watch against is gossip. Gossip. And where does it begin? It begins in our homes. We can't purify the church of gossip if we are not acting like men in our homes. I want to say that. And I can say before God that every time, right when my children were growing, I never entertained gossip. See, they came and somebody said something to them and they got upset or got offended and they came, I would never take their side. There are sometimes something was wrong, the other person was wrong. Still, I would turn their hearts to the church. I would not take their side and say, yes, that sister is always like this, or that brother is always like that. I would always tell them, see what has been said to you. There's something that you can take of it and correct yourself in your own life. Don't have a wrong attitude. God is my witness. Whether it's my wife or whether my children, I always turn their hearts to the fathers. I turn their hearts to the church. And that's why they can grow up, you know, with a good attitude. Even if they're not part of CFC, they are always thankful for all that they have seen. So gossip, I want to say to you, men, I want to say to you, brothers, husbands particularly, act like men. Stem it, stop it, kill it in your house, in your family. At the dining table, when you're just talking and the conversation wanders about and get into somebody else's affairs, you know, someone else's family, what has happened to that one, what has happened to this one, why is this one disciplined, what has he done, what has she done? All these things, where does it begin? In the home. What business? I tell my wife many times, none of your business. It's not our business. Jesus said to his mother, when his mother came and told him they run short of wine. Read it there in John chapter 2. He said, yes, woman, that's not our business. My time has not yet come. They run short of wine. That's not my business. The Father has not told me anything. And if we maintain that, my dear brothers, act like men. It's not our business, dear wife. My dear child, it's not your business. You don't have to have the answers. So you don't need an explanation. I tell my wife, your boundary is very small. I tell my children, when they were with me, your boundary is small. You don't have to give, you can give your suggestions, you can, not that you can't talk, but you can't influence me in such a way that I have to give direction in the church. We act like men. We can listen to our wives, and there are sometimes they can speak sense to us. I believe that. And Abraham also at one time, if he had listened to his wife, he could have been kept from sinning when he went down to Egypt. So there are times we can listen to our wives. There are times when we should not listen to our wives, when we need to listen to what God is saying. Particularly when it's matters relating to spiritual direction in the church. So in this matter of gossip, we need to be radical. We need to act like men. You read Proverbs 20 verse 19. It says that he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore do not associate with a gossip. Very clear word. Gossipers slander other people's reputation. They get into somebody else's business and they slander somebody without knowing all the facts. A lot of things happen in a church that's grown so big. A lot of things happen. You don't need to know all the answers. You don't need to have an explanation why this was done that way. Why have the elders done things that way? Why was that family asked not to come to the meetings? Why do you need to know? If you need to know, we will tell you. A lot of things we don't tell because we want to protect the privacy and the reputation. Because every man, every family has a dignity. And we want to protect that. We don't want people to be talking about it. So we don't give all the facts. If necessary, we have to say certain things, we say it. But don't entertain gossip in your home, my dear brothers who are husbands and fathers. We have a responsibility there. Say, no, that's not our business. What the elders have explained or whatever has been announced, that's enough for you to know. Why do you need to talk about it? We end up slandering people's reputation. We end up putting other families into more difficulty than they already are in when they are disciplined or for whatever reason. You know, things have to be done in the church. So I cannot, I don't think I can even say it strong enough that if we don't kill it in our home, we'll never address it in the church. It's very important how we avoid people from gossiping and over lunch. I believe that a lot of gossip happens over lunch. We are not there, but I hear sometimes that there's gossip and maybe you brothers are not involved in that, but then our wives. If we have not stemmed it, if we have not killed it in our home, then we can't stop it in the church. So it's very important. And there are a lot of exhortations about gossip. Romans 1:29, 2 Corinthians 12:20. Look it up in your time. 1 Timothy 3:11. 1 Timothy 5:13. He speaks about malicious gossips. That's another title the Holy Spirit gives. Malicious gossips. Talks about older women. You know, not being 2 Timothy 3. You can look at this word. 2 Timothy 3:3. It's there. It says there, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips. Malicious means you're out to put somebody in a bad light. You have malice. You have a problem with that brother, with that sister, with that family. Some jealousy, something like that. So you say something in your own little group and you listen to it in your home. You don't kill it there. Malicious gossip without self-control and all that list there of people who have a form of godliness. Do you know that a malicious gossip can have a form of godliness? And it's not just sisters. Sadly, sometimes it's among brothers also. So, if we really want to preserve ourselves, we need to be alert to this, my dear brothers, that we don't give room to gossip in our home. We encourage our partners, our wife, our children. It's not our business. Let's mind our own business. Peter says, don't suffer as a busybody. And he clubs that, as I said last couple of weeks ago, together with thieves and murderers. One who's busybody and somebody else is as good as a thief and a murderer. You're murdering somebody's reputation because you don't know enough and you speak. And you're stealing somebody's reputation. That's why the Holy Spirit clubs busybodies together with murderers and thieves. Remember that, my dear brothers. And let's really act like men and be strong in this area particularly, and see that in the home we don't give room to gossip. There are lots of other things we can talk about, and you don't need to talk about the Bible all the time. We don't. A lot of other things that you can talk about, which is not gossip. And you don't find anything you can talk about the weather if you don't know what to talk about. So, when I say that we have to act like men and be strong, it's like the picture that comes to me, you know, when a little fire is starting, you know, I believe that if you take a blanket and put over it, it kills it because it deprives it of oxygen. So they say when a fire is starting, you can just put a blanket over it and kill it, kill the supply of oxygen. That's what we have to do as men. Kill the supply of oxygen for gossip in our homes, with our wives particularly, because wives, women tend to be curious, and if we have daughters, they are curious. And they make their comments, they give their opinions, but we have to be alert there. Where is this going to? Where is this leading to? Kill it, put a blanket over it, deprive it of oxygen. That's the way that we can be strong, we can act like men. And like I said, you know, all that we do it in love. See, the danger that in hearing all such exhortations, we do it in the letter. We can go about and go back to our homes and become Pharisees and legalists. And that is there also, sadly, among some brothers. Let all that you do be done in love. We are called to be servants of the new covenant, not of the letter. It's a word that often reminds me that I am a servant of the new covenant, not of the letter. The old covenant, they were servants of the letter. But under the new covenant, I am called to be a servant of the Spirit. It says there in 2 Corinthians and chapter 3. Verse 5, it says, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves. Our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, and listen to this, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And I know we hear exhortations, and I've seen this in the church through the years, that Brother Zach speaks strongly on some things, and we can go home and come down heavy on our wives and come down heavy on our children. We are servants of the letter. We are Pharisees. We cannot help them. We'll only turn them away from the church. We'll turn them away from the brothers. Ask God, my dear brothers, all of us, ask God to make us servants of the new covenant of the Spirit, not of the letter. That is why, as I said, we need the Holy Spirit. And in that same chapter, it says, whenever a man, there it is there, 2 Corinthians in chapter 3, verse 16, whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, and lest we wonder who that Lord is, it's the third person of the Trinity, verse 17, the Lord is the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's how I know that my family, I can live freely. I don't put a burden on them. I don't put a weight on them. I don't give them, come down heavy on them just because I heard something in the church, just because I heard something in the brothers' meeting. I said, Lord, I want to do this in the Spirit. I want to help. I want to turn to the Holy Spirit. How do I do this? How do I speak? If I have to correct something in my home, I want to do it with the Holy Spirit's help. Not listening to my reason and my mind that tells me, oh, you got to, You know, that's the tendency that many of us have. I've had to speak to brothers, don't try to be like Brother Zach. That's a special ministry God has given him. We don't need too many Brother Zachs. One is enough for many churches. But I'm afraid that through the years I've had to say to brothers, don't go that way. That's not your ministry, to come down hard. Let all that you do be done in love. I'm not saying that we are to be flabby and, you know, just let things go out of hand. That's not it is. I can act like a man, I can be strong, but I can do it in love. Leave all the strong exhortations and corrections and rebukes and reproofs for a brother that God has given us in the church. I don't think many of us have that and have that grace. We need to be encouragers. We need to encourage our wife. We need to encourage our children, not come down hard on them. And I'm afraid that's a mistake we make sometimes. And then one last word, you know, in James in chapter 3. Always, always, always sow a seed when there is peace. I've always thought of this word. When there's a storm, if you sow a seed, it will be blown away. James 3. I'll stop with this and then Brother Charles can share what is on his heart. James chapter 3. Said, the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Memorize that word. I have memorized it. And many times it comes to me in a home situation. The righteousness of God, you know, the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness. Getting angry, getting upset will not bring the righteousness of God. Remember that, my brothers. God has spoken to me innumerable times, particularly when I had a problem with anger. And through the years, God has really worked in my heart. I went to God and said, Lord, I'm an angry man. I went into the bathroom and cried. And said, Lord, I'm an angry man. Free me from anger. My children will testify to that. And then they see that the work that God has done in me. And they say, Dad, is not the same. There were days when I would be so angry that I would not be able to control myself. When I cried out to God, I said, I'm not going to be a slave to anger. The anger of man cannot achieve the righteousness of God. God has spoken to me many times on that. If I want to see the righteousness of God, James 3, verses 13 to 18. I made this my prayer many times. I said, Lord, I want to be wise and understanding. Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. The gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, you know, if you're getting into competition, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, soulish, and demonic. Remember that, my brothers and sisters. The wisdom from below is earthly, soulish, and demonic. But for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, listen to this, there is disorder and every evil thing. Like I said, we have so many families now. We're not going to be competing with other families, comparing ourselves with other families. That brings jealousy and selfish ambition, and I am contributing to disorder, to confusion in my home. That's what it says. Every evil thing. But the wisdom from above, I want to encourage us men. I want to encourage us, every one of us, married and unmarried, seek for this. I seek for this. I pray this prayer. Lord, in many, many situations, particularly through the years with my children, I want wisdom from above. Lord, I've used the wisdom from below. It's brought confusion in my home. I want wisdom from above, which is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable. Reasonable means willing to yield. That's a good thing to keep in mind. Willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And here's this word. The seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. If you're a man of peace, you can sow seed of that will bring peace. He'll sow a seed whose fruit is righteousness, but sow it in peace. Don't go home and you hear something in the church and you see, yeah, that's the problem with my family. I'm going to come down hard on this. You'll bring disorder. You'll bring confusion. But he said, Lord, I want to be a man of peace. And I want to sow. Sometimes there are things that we have to say and correct. Causes a little storm. But it should not affect me. But still I have to keep myself in love. And sow in peace. So don't sow a seed when there's a storm. When your wife is agitated. When your children are upset. When they come home with, especially in their teenage years, with all the problems, the peer pressure. Don't try sowing a seed. Wait for the storm to die down. Then sow the seed and see the fruit of righteousness that will come forth in their lives. I've done this and I can say it has brought results. Whether it's we're talking to our wives, correcting something that we see with them, correcting, like I said, gossip in the home. Sow a seed in peace. All we have to say, my wife, my children, this is not our business. Let's judge ourselves. That's all we are called to do, judge ourselves. We don't have to have opinions about others. We don't need explanations. And we don't need to know. Let's concentrate on ourselves. And that way I want to say that we can act like men and be strong and stand firm in the faith. And then everything that we do, we can do in love. I pray that God will raise up such godly brothers in this church who can really stem all these evils that we nip it in the bud in our home. I believe that will be the beginning of a revival. Not for some feeling, a revival of the fear of God among us in the coming days. Amen.
I would like you to turn with me to Luke chapter 12, verse 35. There's a verse here, it says, this is Jesus telling his disciples to be ready, be in readiness. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps alight. You know, there was another passage where Jesus said about the 10 virgins. Some 5 were wise and 5 were unwise. And one group had their light burning, the other group's light went out. And this is speaking in connection with the Holy Spirit, what brother already shared. It's so good to hear. And the next verse it says, and be like men. You have your life lamp burning. Let it be alight. And meanwhile, act like men. See, this word gossip doesn't belong to men. You know that it is the weakness of women. It's not belonging to men. If there is anybody who is indulging in that, like many years back, Brother Zach said, you need to wear a sari and come. It's as serious. If you are a brother who likes to enjoy gossip and you have an opinion about everything and about everybody under the sun, then you should have been a prolific writer on every subject, because you have an opinion about everybody and every subject. You need to humble yourself and say, Lord, when was the last time you said, I don't know? When somebody asked you something, you gave your opinion because you know whether good or bad, whether it helps or not, whether it is edifying or not, you just mouth your opinion, big mouthed people. you are in great danger of falling into sin. Proverbs says, where there are multitude of words, sin is not lacking. And a person who is talkative, and all the time wants others to hear him only, without giving any chance to others to speak, is a high-headed man, arrogant, proud. He doesn't know. Like Jesus said, you think you have everything, but you don't know. You're blind, wretched, miserable, naked. They walk about naked, and they think that they're wearing their dress. And those who have insight can see their nakedness through and through. And act like men. How many times it says, act like men, act like men. Be a man. You see, we have a perfect example in Jesus about how to be a man. He is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he is also called the Lamb of God. He has both. He is neither a Hitler nor an effeminate. He is a balanced person. When it came to the devil, he was like a lion. But when it came to human beings, he was tender. He was gentle. But with the rough, he was rough. But with those underdogs, those who were already beaten down, he was on their side against the devil. We are called to be like that, brothers and sisters. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:7, I wanted to go home and read this second part of this. 1 Peter 3:7, you husbands likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Brothers, you want your prayers to be answered? Here is the secret. You want your prayers to be answered? Live in a proper, right relationship with your wives. You treat her like a slave. You put her in her place. And you always have the last word. And you act like a Hitler at home. I doubt whether God will ever hear your prayers. I don't think they will ever rise above the ceiling. You may be praying. You may be having set time of prayer. But check whether any or not of them have been answered. If you're treating your wife like that, repent of that. Don't ever expect that your prayers will be heard. It's very clear here. The Bible says, if you want your prayers to be answered, live in a proper relationship with your wife, knowing that she is a weaker vessel. There may be lot of imperfections and weaknesses in her, which you may not have, and you come down heavily on her. But you forget to remember that she is a woman, and you need to grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. You know, it is like a joint account in a bank. You and your wife have a joint account, let us say, and you want to go and encash something, and you only sign and give. Your check will not be honored. You cannot encash it unless your wife also signs on it. So it says your fellow heir, like you have a joint account with your wife. Only if she also signs, then your prayers will be answered. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, in one accord, then Jesus said, I am there in their midst. If both of you are not in one accord and you have an Atlantic between the two of you, even though you sleep on the same bed, your prayers will not be heard, answered. Go home and read that chapter. It says so many things about your tongue, the way you speak. To sum up all, let it be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. And now he speaks from Psalm 34, number of verses. He says, let him who means to love life and seek good days refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. And let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it, like we heard just now. Seek for peace, hunt for peace, like in another translation says, hunt for peace. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and he hears, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. There's lot to do with your words, my brothers. And do not be a gossip, going around carrying tales, telling about this person, that person. Don't you have anything better to talk? You have to talk only about people. Many years ago I shared this. I don't mind sharing it again. They said there are three types of people in the world. One is the very inventive kind of people, very creative. They always think about ideas. Creative. And there is another kind of people who are moderate. They talk about events as to what happened yesterday, what happened in such and such a time, or what might happen, and things like that. And there's another third category who is always talking about the others. So these are the third category people. So whenever you find yourself talking about somebody else at your dining table or with another brother, remember in which category you are. The small-minded people, average-minded people, and the great-minded people. Examine yourself where you want to be and decide and be there. It's better to talk about some, like brother said, about weather or some current events or cricket or some general knowledge. That way, at least your GK will increase. But if you keep on talking about this family, that family, your sin will increase. And you'll be adding more and more to your burden. Don't you ever do that. And one last thing, brothers, be a brother. And Myob, M-Y-O-B, like we heard the other day, learn to mind your own business. That means be within your boundary. Don't go like sisters from home to home. You have no business to visit somebody else's house when the head of the home is not there. This is being preached in this church for more than 30, 40 years. And some have taken it, some have not taken it. Some, even though they have been here for decades, have heard all these things, still have done it and destroyed families. You have no business to go to somebody's house when the head of the home is not there. If the head of the house is not there, just say goodbye. Or say, I'll come back later when he comes home and come away. Don't say it's my sister. The sister-sister business has led many people into grievous sins, greater men than you and me have fallen in this area. Be extremely careful about your behavior with the opposite sex. You're interested in talking to somebody else's wife rather than your own. You're interested in appreciating somebody else's dress rather than your wife's. You're just one step ahead, away from adultery. Remember that. Sooner or later it will be revealed. Nothing will be hidden that will not be revealed, Jesus said. Anything that is whispered in the room will be broadcast on the housetop. Don't think that you can cover up your sins. Like Paul tells Timothy, some people's sins are already manifest and some people's still not manifest. It will come. One day or the other it will be made manifest to all. Some people's folly also will be made manifest to all. Be very, very careful about the way you behave with the opposite sex. You may be married man, but don't think that marriage is an answer to this. Many married men have failed in this area. Learn to fear God and keep your mouth shut when it should be shut and open when it should be open. Many a times we open it when we should keep it shut and we shut it when we should open it. But ask God that God may grant us wisdom and discernment as to when to open our mouth and when to shut, so that our families are preserved, our children are preserved, and love your wives, brothers and sisters. If not, somebody else will love. And it will be too late. And there's no point in crying over spilt milk. And much damage has been done, and sometimes it may be irreparable. Wake up before it is too late. Amen.